News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
We are joined by Antoinette Simon Harris. Good morning to you, Antoinette. Can we start by talking about your reaction to what we're seeing unfold in Gaza at the moment?
So what we're seeing unfolding in Gaza right now can only be seen as one of the most horrific and almost unimaginable humanitarian catastrophe. I mean, children are being starved in Gaza right now. And I was talking to our own officials yesterday. I mean, Ireland, people listening to this programme through their taxes, have paid for such significant amounts of aid to be sent into Gaza. And we have Irish aid trucks, along with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of trucks from many parts of the world, effectively parked in Amman in Jordan, waiting to distribute food and shelter to thousands of people. I think we have enough food in the Irish trucks for around 7,000 people, 6,000 to 7,000 people. It's been sitting there for 4 months. And for one reason and one reason alone, it cannot get in to save people who are starving. And that is the Israeli blockade in relation to aid that's now going on for around 80 days. And this is a situation that is utterly inhuman and is causing a level of suffering that I don't think the world, any of us, can even fully comprehend.
It would appear that hunger is being used as a weapon of war here. Even this idea of this new Gazan Foundation where aid, we're hearing, will be rolled out, but will be rolled out in southern Gaza, in central Gaza. Do you believe that is designed to get those who are in northern Gaza to move? It's being used to displace people?
Yes, I mean, aid and access to aid is being used as effectively a bargaining chip or a negotiation chip by an Israeli government that is actively pursuing and enabling war crimes today. And this is a horrific thing to have to say, but it is factually correct. I mean, you do not have any legal right. In fact, it is illegal to starve people in the first instance, but then also to breach humanitarian law in terms of how you do decide to ultimately distribute aid. You cannot, I mean, with very clear rules and very clear laws and very clear long-established structures around humanitarian aid. We have agencies that provide that aid. We have UNRWA, the UN agency. And this idea that the Israeli government will come up with some sort of a convoluted scheme to effectively pretend to be providing the most basic level of aid is despicable. And Benjamin Netanyahu has been very clear about this in recent days when he has effectively said, to paraphrase them, the only reason we're doing this is to kind of allow us continue what he describes as their political objectives. And their political objectives now are very clear, that they want to clear the Gazan Strip. They want to clear Gaza of Palestinian people. And I mean, that is a war crime. The forcible displacement of people, as you say, with the offer of food somewhere else, it really is a despicable act.
Tonishta, are we witnessing in real time ethnic cleansing?
I think in light of the very clear comments that we've seen from the Israeli government in recent days, we're very much now in the space of genocidal activity. And it's, I think that is just a statement of fact. We have seen a consistent pattern of war crimes. And we now have an Israeli government that is being very blunt in terms of outlining what it is intending to carry out in Gaza. They've dropped the pretense, quite frankly, now, in terms of what they actually want to achieve. And we're almost to the day, a year on, from the time this country recognised the state of Palestine because we wanted to keep the hope of a two-state solution alive. And yet today it seems further away than ever before, because will there be a second state if they get their way?
And maybe lastly on this, if and as you are describing, they're quite clear in what they want to do. If the Israelis attempt to forcibly displace the Palestinians out of Gaza and they attempt to conquer Gaza and annex Gaza, as potentially it looks like they're trying to do, will the international community act?
So this is kind of the depressing fact. And I have to say this very honestly, the international community hasn't done nearly enough. I mean, when people look back at this moment in time, the world has not done enough to bring about the absolute maximum pressure to make the Israeli government change course. And now I can point to some belated and encouraging signs that I welcome. For example, the work that Ireland has been really trying to push at an EU level to effectively bring about a review and a suspension of the EU-Israel Association Agreement because the human rights clauses and that are being breached. It was literally a very lonely place for Ireland and Spain
reviewed
on our own.
Yeah, and fair.
It is being reviewed, but extremely belated.
Should it be suspended while that review is taking place?
It absolutely should. And I mean, had the Irish position been adopted by a majority of member states of the European Union when we first sought this, you know, who knows the positive impact that that could have had in helping to bring about the environment for a ceasefire. But I believe it should. You know, it's absolutely essential now that it is suspended, because okay. There has to be. I mean, why do you consider doing all these things? You consider doing all these things because you have to let Netanyahu's government know that they have to change course, and they're not listening to they're not listening to fine words of condemnation anymore, and therefore the actions need to be more concrete. And that's why at a domestic level, we will now go ahead and legislate in relation to the occupied Palestinian territories and trade with the territories.
You are going to pass that bill.
I'm meeting Senator Frances Black. I'm meeting Senator Frances Black today, and it's my intention to advance the legislation at Cabinet next week. We are going to pass a bill because I have to pass a bill that's constitutional, I have to pass a bill that's legal. I want to pass a bill that's going to actually stand up to scrutiny and not fall at the first legal hurdle. But I fully accept Frances Black's bona fides in relation to this.
So this is going to come before the Dáil next week?
Sorry, no, the Cabinet is going to come before the Cabinet next week. Terms of permission to draft. Okay. And I intend to have the legislation before the Oireachtas Committee for scrutiny in advance of the summer recess.
Okay. Other things. The firing of shots in the West Bank at or near diplomats yesterday. Your reaction to that?
So this is an utterly inappropriate and indeed illegal action. I've spoke to... So just to remind listeners what happened yesterday, I mean, a number of diplomats, including the Irish head of mission to Palestine and his deputy, were visiting Jenin, a region in the West Bank. They were visiting effectively an area that's a refugee camp. They were standing at the gates of that refugee camp, and the governor of Jenin, a member of the Palestinian Authority, was speaking and giving them an update. When his speech ended and the diplomats began to disperse, my understanding from speaking to our people on the ground is that a number of members of the Israeli Defence Forces stepped forward and fired warning shots over their heads, or what is described as warning shots. Whether they were warning shots or otherwise, they were shots. And firing shots at diplomats is an absolute clear breach of international law. So, and my instruction last night,
that explanation that's been given by Israel, warning shots because they were deviating from an agreed route, you are unimpressed by this?
Well, like, do they think we're thick? I mean, they knew that diplomats were visiting the region. The diplomats notified the Israeli Defense Forces in advance. These are civilians. These are men and women working in a very difficult area on behalf of Ireland. They knew they were there. And I don't accept in any manner or means the Israeli Defense Forces explanation in relation to this. I find it utterly offensive. In fact, there needs to be, as we've said at an EU level, a full investigation in relation to this. And those who fired the shots, or those who gave the commands to fire the shots, need to be held accountable.
Okay. Moving across the Atlantic to Washington, obviously, what looks like two embassy staff of the Israeli embassy shot and killed last night outside the Jewish Museum. Donald Trump has described these as horrible and anti-Semitic killings. Your reaction?
This is a vile anti-Semitic murder of two young members of the Israeli embassy, a young couple, I believe, who were due to very shortly be engaged. It is a despicable act. It's a heinous crime. It is anti-Semitic and it's vile. I note that the perpetrator has been arrested and detained, and I've no doubt will and should face the full rigours of the law. I should say my understanding was this was an event being held by the Jewish Committee in a Jewish museum in Washington, D.C., where there were a number of young diplomats present from many countries, including indeed one from our own embassy, a young Irish woman present as well. I've been in touch with our embassy in Washington this morning. It's obviously the middle of the night there now, but I've been in touch with them. And while our own person who was there is safe, as you can imagine, everyone who was at the event is extremely shook after what was the most...
You're describing it as anti-Semitic. The perpetrator is reported to have shouted "Free, free Palestine" at the time. Can you understand the complexities of the, I suppose, international conflict spilling over into other countries in this way?
So I think we should always differentiate, and I'm not talking in relation to what happened in DC, but we should always differentiate between the actions of the Israeli government and the people of Israel. And of course, we should always call out and condemn anti-Semitism in all its forms. What happened last night is a disgusting, vile, anti-Semitic murder.
Sticking with Washington, What did you make of what you saw unfold in the Oval Office between the President of South Africa and President Trump?
I thought it was an effort to demean the President of South Africa, a man I've met at the G20 in South Africa in Johannesburg, a man who has been a great friend to Ireland and a great friend to our peace process. And one wonders the rationale behind the treatment that President Ramaphosa received in the Oval Office yesterday. And one wonders, is it linked to the fact that South Africa has spoken up and acted in favour and support of international law? I mean, I know President Trump has very strong views in relation to the position that South Africa has taken, for example, with the ICJ case, which Ireland has joined regarding the Genocide Convention. Unfortunately, we saw President Zelensky, an incredible man who has worked to save his country, treated appallingly badly. And now we've seen a man, President Ramaphosa, who I believe has been a really important friend of peace, including on our own island, being treated in a bad way. But this seems to be, going to the Oval Office seems to be a more complex event these days.
Okay. And maybe lastly, Tánaiste, a member of NICAP, Mo Cara, has been charged with terrorism offences. This is for displaying a Hezbollah flag at a gig in London in November. Obviously, you can't comment on ongoing investigations, but that idea of flying a Hezbollah flag and now being arrested on that, the support for groups like Hamas and Hezbollah, particularly the public support for by popular people such as NICAP, do you have a response to this?
So I as you say, I won't comment on the specifics, but on the broader points that you make, I mean, I don't think we should conflate Hamas or Hezbollah with the cause of the Palestinian people. I mean, Hamas, to take Hamas first, I mean, Hamas is a despicable terrorist organization. It carried out a brutal terrorist attack in Israel that has been condemned by Ireland and all right-thinking people. They offer the people of Palestine no future of hope or positivity. And in fact, that's not just my view. The president of the Palestinian Authority, President Abbas, said this recently himself. You know, the plan for the future of Gaza and the reconstruction of Gaza has to be one that doesn't involve
Should Hamas disband at this point?
Well, Hamas are an illegal terrorist organization. Of course they should. They shouldn't be in any way, shape or form given any succor and aren't by Ireland. And when it comes to Hezbollah, I'm also the Minister for Defence in this country. And we're fighting daily for justice for Private Sean Rooney. Hezbollah, again, is an illegal terrorist organization that have brought pain, suffering and death to Irish peacekeepers.
Tánaiste Simon Harris, thank you very much for joining us.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.